Hello, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good. Hold on. I'm in like a different
This
place.
call is now being streamed.
If I can get my camera
Oh,
on.
there you are.
Oh, hello. My husband's working from home today, so I'm in the living room.
Oh. Well, you've got good lighting.
Yeah. I have a huge window right in front of me. I look too bright. Thanks.
No. Looks good. Flattering.
How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. All quiet.
I'm
Easy. Morning.
okay. I'm trying to let's see. Okay. Good morning. Trying to share a window. Okay.
Laura, are you going to be doing a screen presentation and do you need Tony's help?
It's not so much a presentation. I was just trying to post in a, like have an agenda that people can see. I was going to just essentially put it in the chat if I can't get the, my thing to share properly. Because I'm having a little trouble with getting it to share my, oh, there it is. Okay. Gotcha. So if I hit share right now, Tony, will it, do people toggle between the two, or is that all they're gonna see?
You'll see other, they'll see us as well as
Okay.
the
Gotcha.
presentation.
Okay. Excellent.
Perfect. I see it and I see you too.
All right. Lovely. Okay. So it's 9:02. Is everybody here?
Yeah, there's nobody waiting to come in. Everybody's already in.
Okay. And all of the advisory committee people are here. I don't see Marcia or and I don't see Garnet.
I'm here, but on phone.
Oh, okay, cool. Good. And is Marcia present? Not yet.
I don't think you're on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll just begin and people will jump in as they can, hopefully. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming
Sorry,
today.
do we have a quorum?
I don't think we need a quorum, right? Because we don't vote on anything we decided.
Well, it's still the committee is still a public body. So even if it doesn't, you still need a quorum.
Right now we've got three.
So we need at least six because I think there's 10 committee members.
Okay.
Well, there are one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There are seven committee members currently, and that does not include any staff or yourself.
Okay.
And so we
So we
have
need four then.
four, and we have three.
I'm texting Marcia right now.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks. I know that Jimmy and Tammy were not available today, nor was Dr. Warner.
Looks like someone just joined. A couple.
Tammy's here.
Oh, Tammy.
Okay. So Tammy's here. That's great. Okay, lovely.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're able to make it. Okay, so that's our four. So we can start, and hopefully Marsha will get here when she can. I haven't seen any emails from her this morning about not being able to make it at the last moment. But okay, so good morning, everybody. I am sharing here. Hopefully you can all see just a kind of a quickie agenda for today. So the first thing that I wanted to, and again, we have people who only have 1 hour, so I'm going to just try to go through quickly here. But by all means, if you have questions, raise your hand. Okay. So the first thing is the Sensia implementation and an update. So there were some questions that came forward about, you know, why Sensia and using it and so forth. And it's because that was sort of a contracted vendor for the government, and we've already paid for it. So we've just been waiting for the implementation all this time. And so since it's already paid for and it was, I think the chosen vendor for all of the boards, where the board and staff is moving forward with that. And to my understanding, the project manager from Sensia is already working with the board staff and things are moving forward. So what relates to us in planning for this meeting and talking with, could everybody mute themselves if you're, I don't know, is it only me who hears some weird background noise? No? Okay, good, thank you. Is that from this committee, at some point in the future, Mr. Augerton can enlighten us about timing on that. Volunteers of this committee are going to be asked to be beta testers of the new software before it's actually rolled out. And so this is a great opportunity for us to give feedback and make sure that that it has the user experience that's clear for everybody. And then in addition to that, once, you know, we're in that phase of rolling things out, this committee is being asked to volunteer or find volunteers who are willing to do community outreach, literally physically going into schools across the state to help the school staff educate all of the students about how to navigate the website, the new process for, you know, getting licenses, and then hopefully the schools might be able to do outreach to their graduates for changes in the renewal process, because I believe most of the schools have graduate assistance programs and they are able to keep a database, or they have a database of emails and whatnot, so that they can do outreach to their graduates to share with them any of the changes. So before we move on to anything else, Mr. Augerton, do you have anything that you need or want to update us on relating to the implementation of Sensia?
No, it's still a very sluggish process because Sensia has had, I think it's fair to say, a delivery problem with the boards that have already gone with the product. And we've had about four different representatives of Sensia that we've worked with in the last 6 months. And we have a new representative. We're working with Gould Intelligent, who is a consultant who's our project director. And the advantage of using them is that they have worked with the other boards that have transitioned or are transitioning to Sensia. So we've got very competent, experienced advisors. And our next meeting is coming up next week for 2 hours with Sensia to demonstrate what they've created so far. But if you're asking the question, what are we looking at timing-wise, I don't think you're going to see operational beta testing until probably June, July, and that's just based on a prediction today. But we haven't yet seen the completion of things that would precede actually beta testing. Gotcha. But it would be a good idea to have people actually participate at that stage, because it's going to be an entirely different relationship with state licensing. It's going from a process which has some human interaction, either by telephone or by email, to basically the equivalent of the medical portal. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, this is the way society has gone. In the old days, you'd go to a travel agent, you'd book a trip, and your travel agent would print a copy of your ticket. You take it to the airport. Somebody would carry your bag in, and you go up to the front desk and present your ticket. They would give you a boarding pass. Those days obviously are over in airline travel, and I think licensing is following the same deal. So the applicant is going to be solely responsible for following the prompts of the Ventia system and then having all that information inputted by them.
Right.
And again, without getting into a lot of detail, any of us who have done a medical portal recently, you almost have to have all the materials there at your desk before you begin, because a lot of times you won't anticipate they're looking for one thing or the other until you start. And
right.
Hopefully you can get that, maybe a checklist or the instructions up front. In theory, it's more efficient. The software is actually designed to take the place of the state employees. So it's not going to be an augmentation. It's going to be putting the applicant more in charge of their own inputting.
Right. Exactly. Oh, Tom, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. So that's great. Well, June or July, I mean, it's still plenty fast. That'll be here in a blink of an eye for sure. So number D under letter D under one, one of the things that we talked about is for this committee to develop some handouts with very specific talking points, and then so that we could then present that to the board for approval. And then those would be sort of board sanctioned handouts that could be distributed by the volunteers to schools, going into different clinics in your town, just trying to literally grassroots paper the state with the instructions and the process. In between now and then, when I asked the question, do we have input about how the questions are, written for the forms and all that sort of thing. Again, since the project managers have dealt with all of the other boards before, they have a pretty good handle on that. So I think beta testing will be our opportunity to give our feedback about what can be tweaked or improved for clarity for the industry. So any questions about that? Questions, I should say, from Pete. And I was told, just for the record, after the last meeting, only people who are on the committee are allowed to speak at the meetings. Everybody else is just an observer. In the future, we might, if we want to implement a call to public, we can do that. So do any members of the committee have questions or thoughts about item one?
I have a question. I know we said beta testing would be June or July. When could we expect this to get rolled out to the massage therapist?
Madam Chair and Stephanie, I don't have any idea because we're not getting commitments by the product vendor at this point. So I would take 2024 just to give the outer end of the expectation. But realistically, based on observing other boards and observing, we've been at this now for 2.5 years, I don't think you're going to see anything. Well, and remember this, they want the board to go dark for 30 days. So we'll go back to doing paper processing while they transition from what we're currently using, which is the 2010 database, to the new database. So I think fall.
Okay.
It could be before fall, but I can't even give you a reliable expectation because it's not a funding problem, and there'll be new funding in the new fiscal year, which is handled for the board by the Department of Administration. But the experience we've had so far, and without being critical because we've all been co-participants in this, is that it's just not following a schematic or a calendar chronology that's predictable.
Right.
I would say the crude answer is 2024. The best guesstimate is fall.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilcox had his hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to put my two cents in there. We have had in the past an online system that people have used. We also have the paper. Once they turn us dark, they will turn off our existing data system. And if you send a bunch of paper in for a month, there's nothing we can do about it because we don't have the ability to make a portal login for these people. So we cannot input the data as I understand it. They've never gave us anything to even test yet. So So I can't say, oh, I know how it works. No, they haven't even begun that. So I have, that's all.
So this brings to my mind that what we need is sort of a two-step outreach program. We need this is the transition period. So anybody who's going to be graduating or applying for licenses or renewing during some period of time, you need to be aware of this and then the what it looks like, and then a sort of a follow-up to that after it's actually completed. So so it sounds like we're going to have to do things in phases which makes perfect sense. I mean, this is very common in any kind of computer conversion, that you're going to have phase one, phase two, and then implementation. So the good news is that we have some time to create those handouts and talking points to get ready to be able to share, so everybody that we can make the industry aware of what's going on. So is there anybody on this committee who feels like this is sort of their baby and their calling to sort of chair the or take the lead on this particular task?
I'd be happy to do outreach.
Okay, great. Thank you. So offline, we can get together or perhaps send ideas or suggestions to you for you to be able to formulate. Again, I'm having that weird feedback sound. Am I the only person who's hearing that?
No, I hear it needs to be muted yet.
Okay.
If you look at participants and then also do some outreach, obviously I can do my own school, but I can help out with the other schools too once we have the information.
Great. So it's basically the development of this handout and the key talking points that we want to get communicated. So this is a great opportunity for us to get a variety of things communicated to everybody, that's for sure. Thank you, Stephanie and Tammy. So we'll begin this process by creating an email. You know, people will work offline on creating a handout with some talking points and some rough time frames. And then between the two of you and anyone else who cares to join, we can get a list of all of the schools and places and sort of divide and conquer who can help out in Tucson, who can help out in the Phoenix area, and how we get to Northern Arizona as well. Sound good? Okay, great. So that'll give us something to work on in between meetings. So number two, board expiration update. So we have been in contact and are in concurrent conversation with representatives to open a bill folder to assist us with getting an extension for the board and then potentially a statutory review at that same time. I'm not sure if those will be done at the same time or not, but that's the conversation that's been had. I think we're in the early phases of that, unless Mr. Augerton has any updates he can or needs to share today.
Sorry about that. I was hoping to have an answer for the committee today, but we don't. It should be in next week, and we'll email it. But once we get the authorization from Representative Contreras, we would open a folder at Ledge Council, and it would be boilerplate language, basically leaving the dates blank so as not to presuppose what the legislature or particularly the Joint Legislative Audit Committee will want to do with the board. But we'd like to get the language drafted. We'd like to have it ready to go, and we'd like to suggest to the representative and her colleagues to pre-introduce late summer, early fall, and we'd like to suggest to get bipartisan co-sponsorship as well. While that language, which is very simple and it's very boilerplate, would be drafted by the attorneys at Ledge Council, I would like to have the representative ask for a statutory review of Title 32 as it pertains to the board. Really, it hasn't been done since 2003, and a lot of this, as Casey would certainly be familiar with, is just the structure of existing statute review, looking for best practices, best standards that knowledgeable attorneys at Ledge Council would be using in comparison to other state functions. And then we have asked for a meeting starting in the House and starting with the representative and her caucus and others to follow to discuss the problems that Arizona State Massage License is having with infiltration of applicants that have not come through conventional training or status in the United States to work and so forth. And so that's where we're at, but we just need, I think, and this is just my editorial, the number one issue for this committee and for the full board is the future of the board, and it sunsets June 30th of next year. So I'd like to see if we could offer the pre-drafted language to those who would like to be involved to make sure that the industry does not deregulate. That's what this really is all about. It has nothing to do with the current structure of the board or funding. It's the fact that Arizona committed to regulation of the Arizona's massage industry in 2003, and we need to make sure that that commitment of the original policymakers exists with the current state legislature.
Right. And we feel confident that no one wants massage therapy to be deregulated entirely. So that's good news. It's just a matter of getting it done and hopefully getting renewed for no less than 2 years, but hopefully longer than 2 years, since 2 years can fly by. But my understanding is 2 to 3 years right now is the common extension times that that are being offered. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, great. So not to, just so that no one has some unrealistic ideas like I did, thinking that we're going to get another 20 years or 10 years or, you know, so another 2 to 3 years is what could be expected as far as an extension. So we will be in this process continuously until something else happens, is my understanding. So that is an update on that. So number three, the board chair, Ms. Ryder, did share with me that she and legal counsel discussed and identified that in the statutes and rules, the board is allowed to accept grants and donations. And so this is exciting news because we are wanting to do all of this outreach. We've had a strong push to do education, do videos, do all different kinds of things to make sure that people are informed. And also to, and when I say people, I mean that public is informed, that we're taking public safety into account first and foremost about why licensed therapists and massage licensure is a public safety issue, as well as the licensees, who these are the two primary stakeholders, that they understand the process, that they're compliant, that it's easy for them to get their licenses and to work successfully in this field. So this committee is being asked to find volunteers, either on the committee or outside of this committee, who have experience with grant research and writing experience so that they can assist us with this process. Another, so that would be for grants. And we would be needing to identify some specifics about, you know, when you're asking for grants and or even doing a donation campaign, like a GoFundMe or whatnot, you have to have a mission and specific purpose for why you're asking for funds. And so I think that education is certainly a good, thank you, Tammy, I'll call on you in just a moment. I think that education is a very good, reason, if you will, for asking for funds and where there might be grant opportunity and so forth. So I will put it out now to the committee for questions and volunteers, et cetera. Tammy, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I just thought that maybe we could have a little Zoom specifically on that topic. I have a 501c3 separate from my massage practice. And so I've actually been pretty successful with grant writing and working with the Department of Health Services and education and receiving grants. So there is a formula which I have like a template and would be happy. I just need the content to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how to research where the money is and how to write a letter, I know how to do that. I just need the content to put in there to something.
Great. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So we have to be clear on what the mission is for these grants or what the, you know, what the project is, if you will. So I think that will definitely be a topic potentially for a full board meeting, but definitely for this committee to maybe work some things up and then get board approval before we move forward asking for grants. So I'm not sure, like with the chicken and the egg, who's going to start the process, but thank you for that. That's exciting that you have that experience. That's fantastic. Anybody else have comments or questions about this idea of raising funds to assist the board? I mean, obviously that these funds could be used for operating expenses and other various things. However, I don't know that that's what the intention or idea is behind getting grants and donations. I think that the intention for this is to be able to do some of these projects that that the board has been wanting to do, that there aren't additional funds to do.
Madam Chair, do you want to get a briefing from Casey while he's here this morning? Because he's provided some initial research that he did on other boards that, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Casey, but I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to cite from your preliminary research on this.
What about?
Well, the fact of what legally can be done and what would be the procedure for a regulatory board to follow.
And also I would add to that if what the boards have been using the funds for would be interesting to know if you have any idea.
I don't, and I'm not familiar with any other boards doing that. I think, so I answered Angela's question. I didn't do any further research, but under 324203 B1, the board can accept and spend federal monies and private grants, gifts, and contributions and devices to assist in carrying out the purposes of the Practice Act. But any further questions, I think, would be fact specific, it just depends, and I haven't, if I had a specific question about something like that, I could answer it, but I don't. So
let me ask you this question then. So when we come up with, this idea that we presented of using funds for community outreach for the public safety and for the licensees, would that fall under that last part of the statement for board function?
Community outreach specifically?
Community outreach for to educate the public about, massage board and licensing stuff, for lack of a better word.
The board doesn't really educate itself. Of course, it's in the board's interest for practitioners to be educated, and the board regulates the industry and establishes education requirements.
I don't mean massage education. I mean education like there's a massage license. Massage licensing exists. Did you know that massage therapists are supposed to be licensed? And things like the licensees. This is how you navigate the massage, the board website, for example. This is how you apply for a license. These are all things that seem directly related to board operations to make sure that people are, that the meetings are public and they're able to attend them.
Broadly speaking, I think it's fair to say that the board is and should promote open communication with licensees or potential licensees about the requirements of the Practice Act. I think it should promote that communication and really only stop short of providing interpretations or legal advice.
Right, exactly, of course. Good, so out of the question. What we're suggesting is not out of the question. It's in alignment and following allowable actions within the statute. So that's good. Great, any other questions around this idea? Okay. So just to kind of clarify, Tammy has offered her help to research grants and so forth. Just when it gets to the point of needing to have language to write letters and apply, we will be needing to come up with that language and make sure it's board approved before anything is submitted. And Stephanie Rodriguez has offered to spearhead the development of some handouts and talking points for this committee to review and then to get board approval so that we, you know, can do community outreach about the phasing in of the Sensia product and other information that the board needs their licensees and potential licensees to know. Like, for example, the CE credits for attending board meetings would be one of the things that comes to mind. So that's where we're at so far on those two items. And of course, all the rest of us on the committee, I'm sure, are here to help and assist in any of that offline until our next meeting. So last there's number five I didn't get on here, and that is any new business or things to talk about that the committee would like to have added today and or for future agendas. Mr. Augerton, you did mention to me that about the Government Information Tech office. And I had notes that we were supposed to talk about that, but unfortunately, I did not have the details. Was there something in related to that office that you thought was important for us to know?
Madam Chair, not really. A suggestion was made several months ago regarding this operation, which used to be the Government Information Technology Office, which has now been supplanted by other parts of the Department of Administration. And this entity does a service on request for areas of government that are looking to have performance analysis. And just completed three responses to the Arizona Auditor General in the last 2 weeks, if we had a wing of analysts that could work on that type of thing, I think it would be great. But I don't think at this time we have the resources to really address that.
I see. That was for process improvements as it relates to your tech.
Actually, board operations.
Oh, board operations in general. Okay, gotcha.
It's kind of like having, who's that chef, Mr. Ramsey, who comes in to critique the kitchen. We're just running out of room for the people that are actually operating the kitchen.
Gotcha.
We did have two other updates for you that we have not had a chance to cover today, you and I, Mara, privately. For those of you who haven't noticed, but you probably are familiar, the State Board adopted a policy at its meeting before last and then finalized it at the last meeting that anyone applying for an initial state license can do so while they're a student at a program and up to 120 days before graduation. Because the primary issue with getting a massage license is, why does it take 3 months? And we're never going to be able to really, since we have to depend on the Arizona Department of Public Services and their relationship with the FBI, we're not in a position to dictate or critique the 90-day, on average, delay for the process. So the board decided to make it accessible to someone while they're still a student, and they could actually get their level one, which is statutorily required, and their FBI background check, which is statutorily required. And then when they graduate from a school, accredited school, they would be able to apply for a license, and once the board gets the transcript, they have their license. So I think that's a significant change that the board was sensitive to and provides that during the continuing education period, the initial education period, that people can use that time while they're working their way towards weeks of additional schoolwork. And they said the board set down 120 days, but it's not that fast. That's a suggested date for the student to get along. It was sufficient commitment to the program that they're going to pursue and want to do the two background checks. So that is up on the website. It is available. And I'm hoping, you know, a lot of people use their schools to apply for a license, which is an option that can be chosen. But applicants in schools can also apply directly to the board. you want to provide those documents up front, then they're able to start proceeding with that. I'll stop here because there's a question.
Great. Thank you. Tammy.
So do they have to have their fingerprint clearance card before they apply? Because I have people coming in live scan like 3 months before they graduate to do all that and take care of that. But then do they have to start the application once they receive the card, or can they start the application before they receive the card?
Madam Chair and Tammy, really here is, I mean, in an ideal world, let me suggest how I think it should work, that when a school decides to let a student come into their program, and this is just my suggestion, I'm just telling you what ideally I think it should work, that before the student is allowed to matriculate, that they be required to provide their laminated card from Arizona DPS, that they pass that initial background check. Because it's state law, and it's going to have to be done at some point, and because a number of people have incidences earlier in life that are not a bar to getting a license, that would be something that could be done up. Well, go ahead. You have a question while I'm responding. Go ahead and ask your question.
So I understand the fingerprint clearance card, but then the other one, I was told that you can't get it too early, like within 120 days. So, yeah, it's just, so you want the fingerprint clearance card right away, but then the other one has to be later. You can't get that too early is what I'm saying, like right when they come in. That would be too early, and then it would expire is what I heard.
No, let me try to explain this more effectively. Those documents are required. And what's currently happening is most students that are matriculating and graduating don't have either document. And in fact, that they, in order to do these two documents, you have to pay a licensing fee and complete an initial application. So the intent of the board policy is that while they're matriculating, within the 120-day period prior to graduation, they can proceed to comply with both statutory requirements. I was suggesting kind of off the grid that if schools felt that it would be a help to their students, they would make a determination on admission based on the ability for the student to first obtain their DPS Level 1 card. It provides the initial review. Go ahead, Mark.
I believe what Tammy's speaking about, and I did hear Chair Ryder mention this as well, talking about the fingerprint card that's required for the FBI check with the actual massage license application, because there's two fingerprint cards. There's the fingerprint clearance card from DPS. It's the other one that has an expiration date is what Ms. Ryder has been letting everybody know. It's the second one that goes with the actual massage application to the FBI. That one is the one that cannot be done more than 120 days. Is that true?
Well, no, and that's why it was been updated information that was briefed at the last full board meeting. So
okay.
There actually is not a hard and fast restriction on how many days prior to graduation a person can apply for the FBI card. I mean, and I'm not telling the schools what they should do. I'm offering the most open opportunity to not have these two cards continue to be an issue for graduation and licensing.
Right.
And then let me just say this as well, because I don't think people understand this. This is not the board. This is Arizona state legislative law.
Right.
Every LMT in the state right now is currently required to have a DPS Level 1 card. Now, we can only enforce it at the time of license renewal, but the law provides that in order to have practice legally in the state, you are already supposed to have, as of January the 1st,
right,
your AZ DPS issued Level 1 card. Now, we don't enforce that. We require that at renewal.
Right.
But what I'm trying to suggest, and I don't know why this is so difficult, I know the terminology gets interchanged back and forth. We talk about a card. The Arizona DPS issued laminated card, the Level 1 clearance card, I'm just offering, might be something the schools want to explore prior to admitting a student into the program, because if the students will not get a good faith exemption from DPS, the education will not be of any value if they can't be licensed. So it seems like the first check that the student would benefit from and will be required for 6 years when they have their license, every 6 years to be renewed, would be, but they can be taken in any order.
Right.
Now, on the fingerprint card, which comes to the board and then is processed by DPS, the board has suggested that within the last 120 days prior to graduation. The hope here is that someone completing a program and getting their final transcript could go to work, which I thought was the original intent, quote,
right,
immediately, because they've already taken care of these two documents.
Right.
But a lot of people apply and do not know that they cannot get an APS, an AZ DPS card until they go through a good faith exercise with DPS. People
right.
forget things that may have happened when they were young,
right.
minors or young adults or whatever,
right.
and that does delay the process because
so,
people will not issue the card until they go through that appeals process. That's why would you not do this up front?
Right.
People decide you're going to take an education in massage.
So I think that the confusion here also lies in, maybe this will help, although it looks like maybe Tammy has stepped away, you must present that second fingerprint card with your massage application, and then it goes to the FBI. I think what the question mark was, if you get your fingerprint card in, you know, January, that if you then send your application in May, that fingerprint card is no longer valid. As long as the application to the board with the required fingerprint card are submitted together, there's no issue for timely, because the card is valid at the time that you're applying for the license. Is that a better way to sort of maybe state it about that second card? As long as that card, those fingerprints are taken and then submitted to the board with the application in a timely fashion, then that card will not become outdated if there is even a date on that second card, because it's already now going straight to the FBI, so it's timely.
Right. The difference, Madam Chair, historically, the board investigator under the previous incumbent advised, based on input from DPS, that you did not want someone applying for an FBI background clearance check so far in advance that
right.
it would be an incident prior to licensing. And that still is the preferred interpretation. But with the arrival of the required level one DPS card, which
right.
picks up the felonies, it's no longer a concern.
Exactly.
So it's a two-phase project, but, it really is an opportunity for graduation to not be burdened with additional delays.
Right. So does that create clarity for you, Tammy, about the second fingerprint card and the application?
Yeah, I mean, that makes it a lot easier. Now we can just do it right from the get-go. I hadn't been because I thought it would expire and then they'd have to do it all over again, so why not just wait? So mm-hmm. now that'll just be going right into the program.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. So this is something that should probably be on that talking points list, you know, for the schools and for graduates and whatnot. Tony, did you have a question?
Yeah, this is about DPS, but not really us. I will get in the mail a DPS form that's completed, a check to DPS, and someone with a note that says, send this to DPS. I can't be your work between person. So I have to take the whole thing and send it back to them, uncashed, of course, and then they have to send it to the address on the form that they, I mean, I don't understand why.
Right.
But it's just another touch that I think people are making this harder than it really is.
Right.
If you really want, this is, now Tom gave his version. My quick version is pay, do your application, and then I'll give you a list of what's missing. That's not a cuss list. It's just, now I need your DPS. Now I need a level one. I need a transcript. And then they usually share that with the school right away. And it's not a problem that they haven't graduated. It's that they are already halfway checked out in the grocery line because
right.
they know they're in the system. They
right.
know what's missing, and that's my offering of things. And to touch again on this, we're going to shut down and go out. That's not really a big deal because any application that's gave to me, they're in the system. So, when they shut down, well, that doesn't matter. They're already in the system because I've already placed everything. There's not going to be a oh no, we can't have any graduates now. Well, sure, you've already put in the application. They're already in. So that going dark's not going to be a big deal at all.
That's a great point. Thank you, Tony. That is a good thing to additionally say, be proactive and have everybody get their applications in early. Good conversation. Any other questions or thoughts around this? Tom was giving us updates from the board. So yes, I thank you for sharing that this big change has been made, and it should ease a lot of frustration going forward.
Madam Chair, the other thing to report is that the FSMTB has hired a lobbyist to assist the board going forward.
Oh.
Whatever the next iteration is of House Bill 2169, the Phoenix-based firm, a policy development group, has been hired. And there is, we were supposed to actually have an initial meeting this week between the board staff and them, but this week is the meeting down at Atlanta, FSMTB, so we're, if we don't schedule it today, it'll be early next week. So that'll be a briefing by the board to the lobbyist here local.
Great. So now we'll have two lobbyists on our working with us to be able to get what we need done. So that's great. And then I don't think I have anything else to add about that, other than it might be nice to meet that person at some point. I don't know. Will they be presenting at a full board meeting probably, or join in any way to, or is that not something that's done?
Madam Chair, I think the protocol, we would offer an invitation to someone from the Federation, probably Mylene Petrino, who's their general counsel, to come jointly with one of the principals from the lobbyist firm. And if they wanted to do an introduction of some of their staff, that would be a chance for everyone to meet the additional federal contracted lobbyists for the industry at a full board meeting.
Excellent, excellent. More resources, more help. That's wonderful. Great. So then just for the sake of time and keep us on our 1 hour meeting allotment for everyone's work schedules, anything for number five that's not on the page, topics for future meetings or other questions that were unanswered for today from anybody that's on the committee?
Chair, just a quick note to the group that's here today, there's no board meeting in the month of April. Next full board meeting will be in May.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for that update. Wow. Okay. I hope we're all happy and excited about all the fast forward movement. Summer has raised her hand, but unfortunately, Summer, since you are not on the committee, I am not allowed to let you comment or speak at this moment in time. I apologize. I wish I could. Perhaps if you have a question, you could send an email to the board and someone from the board staff can answer your question. If not, I will add to the future agendas a call to public so that we can have public people ask questions. Anybody else? All right. Well, then I guess I'll adjourn for today. And I would like to have a follow-up meeting in a couple of weeks so that we can stay on top of the grants and the outreach and so forth and so on. Is there anybody who's opposed to meeting again in a couple of weeks? And in the interim, we'll have some email conversation with some rough drafts so we have something to present at the next meeting.
I vote for Friday.
Which Friday, Tammy?
Any Friday.
Any Friday. Okay. Any Friday. And this time slot of 9 a.m. works for you?
Yep.
Okay. I believe it works for Garnet as well.
That will work for me too.
Oh, good. Excellent. Marcia?
Work for Garnet.
Thank you, Garnet. Marcia, are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, that works for me as well.
Friday. Okay. Fridays. Fridays at 9 a.m. works well. Okay, great. and I think 2 weeks is, 1 week seems a little bit too aggressive to try to have anything ready. 2 weeks feels like a good pace for everybody's life. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. Yes. My suggestion for the next meeting as well that I will make note of right now is, the industry summit concept, for over the summer or when we start looking at statutory review, although we've done a lot of that already through this process that HB 2169, brought forth a lot of, statutory change suggestions from lots of folks. But, I want to add that to the agenda next time because we had spoken, Stephanie and I, and I think others had spoken about this idea of keeping an industry summit type of, event happening on a regular basis. Yes, Tammy.
I know it's not all about me, but I just look 2 weeks from now and I have a commitment. So 1 week or 3 weeks is good for me.
Okay. Oh, you know what? You're right. 2 weeks from now, I also have a commitment that doesn't work. So I would vote for next Friday, the 12th, then sooner versus later. Since we're doing this, can the others take a look at their schedule and see if Friday the 12th at 9 a.m. will work for you?
Yes, that works for me.
Great. Marcia, Garnett?
It should work fine with me. I haven't checked my calendar. This is Garnett.
Okay, thank you. So let's just, we'll say now, we'll call it as Friday the 12th at 9 a.m. And we'll just have a busy, week and that'll be okay.
Garnett has a question.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the 12th does work for me. As for some information and, you know, not to be discussed now, but when we're doing, because people, more people are doing, attending the state board meeting for ECEs, I think it should be noted if it's going to be counted as in person or online, and how to show that on the as PDF or, you know, for proving CEs when we're doing a renewal.
I'm sure I can answer that. So we don't give the hours, obviously, for these industry group meetings, but they are allowed 3 hours per year, 6 hours per renewal cycle by attending the full board meeting. If you notice before each meeting, there is a link. People need to check in with the link and complete the form. And there is a record of those who attend the meeting in the beginning, and then there is a separate list provided at the end so we can monitor attendance. And then they are, again, our automation is Tony Wilcox. So then he individually adds to their specific licensing file 3 hours of CE board meeting and on that date. So you can take 2 in a year as long as you don't take more than 6 in a licensing period.
Correct. But when, say, Garnett has attended meetings and gotten CEs, in the past I've gotten an email that said, you know, show record is in the file, my file that I was there. But when I do my renewal form and I have to prove with the PDF that of all my CE certificates, how does the person do that?
Well, these, Garner, that's a good question because the other issue you asked about is these are not considered in-person hours because it doesn't meet the definition of in a classroom with an instructor. So it is the online hours, which it still helps at 6. And people need to remember also, don't forget first aid and CPR, where 8 hours can be picked up. So 6 and 8, there's 14 hours in a single year, or a single cycle rather, 2 year cycle, that can be done with no cost. But when you go to renew, the notation will be in your file at the time of renewal.
Okay, so I would not have to make anything, make a PDF that says, I did a CE class online, attended online. So I think I wouldn't have to, it wouldn't add up, but.
Tony's going to tell you how he does this position.
Thank you. That is, there's actually more than one email. When they do the form at the, and do the link, it will confirm and send them a PDF with the date and that they got the CEs. Then later on, when I process that and put it in their file, I send an additional email saying you've been processed and I've added into your records. So they have multiple ways to attach it in the future. That's all.
Okay. So they would just attach that email.
Or the PDF that the system sent, because it does have a date and time on it of when they
okay.
had done
all
meeting.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Tammy had her hand up.
Yeah, about the first aid and CPR, I kind of zoned out and then I perked out because I'm a provider for CPR and first aid, so I want to know what to tell people is that that's considered live, because it is in-person training, but they can use that towards CE for...
Right.
Okay.
Yes, sure.
That's great.
Okay, cool.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Great. Well, that was a nice last-minute conversation. Wonderful. Anything else? Okay, so I've made our... next meeting agenda, first draft of call to public, talking about the summit, and we got Garnet's questions answered now. And then any of the handouts and talking points drafts that we can, you know, work on and brainstorm around. Wonderful. And I'll be reaching out to folks outside the meeting with a little recap and figure out when we're going to work on that together, and we'll go from there. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I guess now I will officially adjourn. It's 9:56 according to my computer, and I wish you all a wonderful day.